Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Yesterday, the authority said we were not in a crisis, as what is happening in the Bahamas is manageable. Yesterday, few saw the numbers, even though what was happening to the Bahamas was being done in the open for everybody to see. Now, today, it seems as if everybody's eyes is opened. And now that it seems as if some sort of an epiphany happened. Are we now seeing that something is wrong? Something sinister is going on. Something dark. Something not good. Something is rotten in the Bahamas. We have an immigration crisis. And Akid Bell has to say. In fact, he needs to come to the Bahamian people and explain what he means, that what we are going through is manageable. Yesterday when he said it, and remember when I say mean yesterday, I mean yesterday gone, when he said it, it vexed a lot of people because what we are going through is obvious, it's blatant, it's sharp, it's poignant, and it ain't comfortable, it ain't good. So when he said yesterday that we could handle this ain't nothing for us to deal with, we've been managing this before, this is no crisis, I say, yesterday, something is wrong. Something was wrong with his head. Because today, we have two pinders saying, man, we got to do something. The MPs, the people of the Bahamas are coming out of the woodwork and saying, something is wrong and we need help. I'm saying now, it's beyond a crisis. This is something that we are overwhelmed and we can no longer manage. And I'm going to put that question to you. Are we able to manage this system that's happening? And I say that because the law is against us. So let me start my issue, right? Before Hurricane Dorian, the farm was in Abaco. Was 50 acres big, large. Now, today, they guess it to be 200 acres. Right after Hurricane Dorian, Abaco solved its large immigrant population problem. They had it under control because Abaco was the most policed island in the Bahamas. And of course, when we reopened Abaco, those numbers swelled yet again. Now today we see that we have the MP for South Abaco suggesting that in the immediate future, the numbers of migrants, and he said illegal migrants, may outnumber Bahamians in Abaco. And I put it to you, Abaco isn't really the problem. I put it to you that Abaco is just an expression on what the true problem is. Because Abaco's shanty town is a small shanty town in contrast to the 20-odd shanty towns we have in New Providence. It's a small shanty town. They have their own island called Russell Island off Spanish Wells. I want the Spanish Wells people call in because they're responsible for what's happening in Russell Island. Abaco Shantytown is a small shantytown in regards to what has happened on the island of Eleuthera. North Eleuthera Shantytown is massive. Abaco Shantytown is a small shantytown for what is happening in Andrus. But we see all the resources is being moved and mobilized to Abaco as if Abaco has the only immigration problem. And I say it's smokes and mirrors. I say it's smokes and mirrors, and now we need to put shine the light on our politicians and say, man, we see what you're doing. You're playing with our emotions. What you're doing is evil and sinister. You aren't even addressing the problem at all. You're addressing the symptoms, right? Injunction on the demolishing of shanty towns in the Bahamas. I think it started in 2018 and it was an extension. The reason why there was an injunction by Supreme Court Justice, Justice Sherrod Grant Thompson, because it was an issue of constitutional. It was a constitutional issue whether the government had the right, the constitutional right, to build those shanties. And that's why the injunction was placed, because someone challenged the Constitution and said that the government does not have the right, the authority, to build those shanty towns. Then it moved to say that the government, if they want to build those irregular housing developments, which didn't get any permits and license and contaminate the environment, they need to seek a judge approval. You hear me? That government hands are now tied. That's what happens right now. That moving forward, that a government cannot police its land automatically. They need to go and seek approval from a judge. And a judge could say yes or no. This is a constitutional crisis we're going through. And if it is indeed a constitutional crisis we're going through, the challenge of what we thought the government had authority to do, that means that this issue is urgent. And that it means that 3 years later, and this constitutional issue hasn't been dealt with, is a travesty and a crime against Bahamian and Bahamiano. I say that the 2 years of minister administration of doing nothing and added to the 1 year of the PLP administrator of doing nothing, the delay. And some say, what, justice delayed isn't justice denied. And I say, hell with that. The delay is so egregious, so foul, so sinister. It has changed the Bahamas. We are no longer the Bahamas we were in 2018. We are a new Bahamas. Recently, the Minister of Works, Alfred said, suggested that there are some Bahamians who are inside these shanty towns. Mind you, he ain't talking about the ones in Nassau, Andrus, Eleuthera, Russell Island, and Exuma, and the list goes on. He was only talking about Abaco. They only deal with Abaco. They cast a blind eye for the rest of the Bahamas with tens of thousands of irregular people are living and thriving and billing, right? The minister suggested that some of these people living inside these shanty towns are Bahamian, and if because they are Bahamian, the government has a duty of care to make sure they have some place to live. And I said, Bahamians don't live in shanty towns. Mind you, we live in some breakdown houses that can be considered shanty town, but not in no irregular settlements. That got to be different. Then I realized our government give out citizenships to people, to new Bahamians who live in the shanty town. Now these new Bahamians who have all the rights and privileges of Bahamians are reminding the government that you have a duty of care and you can't move me unless you find one house for me to rent or me to live in. So our government now need to find housing for for new Bahamians. And I'm concerned because I believe we're overwhelmed. I believe we are overwhelmed and we do not know what to do. I see the Attorney General made a statement recently, and I'm going to read that, and I want us to interpret what exactly is our Attorney General trying to say. The Attorney General said that mostly that they are going to do, they ain't doing nothing now, that perhaps in the future, now, maybe next year, next week, whenever it is, hopefully, perhaps in the future, they are preparing contempt proceedings for expanded shanty towns on Abaco, not the rest of the Bahamas, on Abaco, which go against a Supreme Court injunction. And I ask you, what the hell does that mean? You're preparing a contempt proceedings for expanding shanty towns on Abaco, which go against a Supreme Court injunction. Recently in a news article, there's a lady said she see building supplies being shipped in, moved in, carted in, drove in to the farm every day. Trucks upon trucks. They building and expanding, right? And I go on with the Attorney General. She said, we expect the final ruling from the judge beginning at the beginning of November, at which time we will appeal to lift the injunction. Let me read that again, because I don't understand what he is trying to say to me. We expect the final ruling from the judge around the beginning of November, no set date, someplace in the beginning of November, at which time we will appeal. That means that it ain't automatic. They can ask permission to lift the injunction. But in the meantime, things go as it is. He said, those who have expanded the shanty towns in Abaco are subject to contempt proceedings because the injunction forbid them from demolishing and also expanding. See, I'm not sure if people understand what is going on. First, we need to ask the judge if we could demolish a shanty town, even though we know that shanty towns are illegal. I'm not sure how, in the first place, the judge put an injunction on the government of the Bahamas from doing its job. How is that even possible? How did that happen? You put an injunction on the government from doing its elected duty. Man, something is wrong. There needs to be a judicial review. There needs to be a judicial review regarding judges. Because if they're putting people on murders on bail every day, see, I ain't going to talk about that because people decent and they charge you for contempt and I got to run away to Miami and never come back again. And I like being here, especially how I have no passport. But anyway, I see I have some callers here. And producer Patch the callers through. I want them to join me on this conversation because I think this problem is overwhelming and we don't no longer have the resources to solve it. We don't have the resources to solve it because we have a housing crisis. And whilst we have a housing crisis and no place to put these new Bahamians and Bahamians in, these people got to stay in their irregular housing. This is where we at. You can't bulldoze it. You got to apply. You got to ask permission. It says it's a constitutional issue that This the highest court. The question is, they challenged the highest court or the highest law. That's it. The highest law in the Bahamas saying the government has no right to do such.
Caller, true.
How you doing, caller? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
I've been waiting so long with you and Yuri.
How you doing today?
More than thank God. You know, on this country, the Bahamas needs justice, law and order in this country. Let me show you something. A couple of things I want to show you. I wanted to extend my walkway, right? And I had to get permission from government to do it. Okay? Government has destroyed people, place if they were to build a wall. You understand? Understand without permission, they would have to break it down. And I know. I talk about joining on to your building. But the thing is, the governments are slack because what the government should have done, right, make an appeal when they got the judgment from the court not to break down this shanty town. Government's just slack, okay? The government had three things they could have done, okay? Get an appeal, take it to the court, or take it to the Privy Council. They'd be taking our money and talking foolishness in our head for nothing. Reconciled long time. They just didn't want to do anything. They were slack.
Hey, Berman, thanks very much for the call. And I would answer that as perhaps you don't understand the law. If there was an injunction, that means that you cannot do anything until the injunction is lifted. You could try any kind of plea, but it's an injunction. That's what injunction means. Stop. Cease and desist. There was a cease and desist order against our government for regularizing or rectifying the problem of illegal shanties. It's a cease and desist order for bulldozing shanty towns or irregular communities. That's what happened. Right? And also apparently was a cease and desist order for people to build. But we see that they built without any permission, and yet we still can't even bulldoze the ones where they recently built because we got to go back to the court and beg the court to say, man, you see that? Can we please do something else? And I say the problem is the judiciary. The problem is that we are at war regarding our survival straight across this with crime, this now with these irregular communities, and the judiciary ain't working with us. They ain't working with us, right? And the thing is, knowing that this is a constitutional matter, knowing that the injunction came about because it was questioned whether the government has breached the constitution or whether they had a constitutional will and power to do such. This should have been urgent. This should have been dealt with, even if it had to be dealt with during the COVID. We had people living in the shanty towns brought an action against the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and say, you have no right to bulldoze no house. And the judge say, hey, let's do a judicial review of that and everything get frozen. But let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller.
Brother Neary.
How you doing today? Let's talk constitution.
I hope you're doing well.
You have one good 10 minutes. No, I have to give you five because people call it. You have 5 minutes with me.
No, but listen, see, you have to ask the question. A person could say something is constitutional. Is it or is it not? A judge can make a ruling. The ruling could either be constitutional or contrary to the constitution. We had a judge made a ruling on an immigration matter, and the ruling was his legal opinion. I went on there and I said, even before the government took action, the ruling of the judge is his legal opinion. Opinion is not law. It's not based on anything. It's just like the woman in Bainetown with those five boys. She has an opinion too. Her opinion is just as good as the fellow sitting on the bench.
Professor? I beg your pardon, and I can interject. You saying the judicial review, an injunction, is an opinion? Is that what you said? Because that's what it is. It's a judge rule that that is an injunction.
No, listen to me.
No. I want you to answer that because you're confusing people. Is the injunction an opinion of the judge? And if it's not, let's stick to the topic.
I'm sticking to the topic.
Was the injunction a legal opinion?
I am saying to you, judges do not have the right to make any law.
You're saying that the judge did not have a right to do an injunction. Is that what you're saying?
No.
You're confusing us again. You are confusing us, Professor, because you're not answering me. And I believe you purposely doing it, Professor.
Did the judge have
a right to do the injunction? That's either yes or no.
I am saying to you, a judge can make a determination, a decision.
So she does have the right.
That may not be constitutional.
So you're saying that the injunction was not constitutional. Is that what you're saying?
We already have laws in place relating to shanty towns, you know.
I asked him about the injunction, and you're now talking about shanty towns. I see what you're doing to us, Professor. I see it. I do not like it. I only asking, did she have a right to put the injunction there? And you won't answer me yet. You start talking about shanty towns.
But isn't that what the ruling is on?
The rule is on whether there was a call for a judicial review on whether the government has a right to police and bulldoze a shanty town.
But it's a shanty, what you talking about?
And since then, we have yet to have the judicial review.
Okay.
I'm waiting on a judicial review. She said, okay, I'm going to entertain the argument and say, let's see if the government does have a right. And she's going to determine it at a later time. That case has yet to come up.
That's been going on for 4 years plus now.
Who argued the points?
Look at the damage that has happened, Nuri.
I agree.
Even when the ruling was made about people not being able to build, that has been violated.
Yes.
3 times more than what you said before.
Yes.
In other words, it expanded 4 times, man. What are we saying? I'm saying to you that a judge can make a determination which is not constitutional. That's what I'm saying. I'm not moving away from that because it happened before. And the government took that ruling to the appeals court and got knocked down. That was the end of that. So why haven't they done that? Why didn't they appeal the ruling from this particular personality?
You said that. Now, you're saying that the government should appeal the injunction? I think after the injunction, then you make an appeal to the judge.
Court. Nuri, listen carefully. Decision was made by a judge. You can appeal that. What do you mean you can't appeal? That's a ruling. But the ruling does not necessarily have to be constitutional. That's my point. Because it happened before.
I'm asking you, through your legal expertise, can we appeal the injunction until I would say that, yes, I guess you could appeal the injunction. But we're waiting on the due date. And when the due date comes...
You ain't got to wait on that.
You don't got to wait
already,
on that.
We already have laws in place relating to this issue. What are you waiting for? For what? 4 years has gone by. And this particular injunction is still sitting there. If the government of the Bahamas is not serious about taking action, who do you think is going to take action? You want somebody else to take action? Mind they would, you know. But you mightn't like the results that would come as a result of the action they can take. Because there are other alternatives. You don't have to wait for the government. You don't have to wait for no court.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying to you, analyses who sit on the bench making decisions that are unconstitutional. That's my point. It has happened before. It's happening now. That's why we have this problem. 4 years down the road plus, and you're still talking foolishness? What kind of sense does that make? We already have laws in place relating to building codes and putting up buildings. What more do you want, Nuri?
And this is where I'm concerned, because we do have laws saying that you cannot build a house in certain ways.
Yes.
And this injunction stopped that. And I'll go with you and say, that there is a travesty. How can you tie the hands of the government from doing what is mandated which it is mandate sinister with that.
But, Newry, that's why I said they should have taken it as part of appeal. But they didn't. The judge isn't going to tell them that, you know. They have to do that. They have to take the necessary action. Because you could see the problem that has occurred now. Part of the injunction that was set up, people ain't checking for that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going right ahead and build. So what's going to happen with that now? See, the damage has already been done more than 4 years later.
Yes.
That creates a whole lot of confusion. So what you have now is a situation where the government of the Bahamas, having the authority to govern, not listen to somebody sitting somewhere talking foolishness, you have the authority to govern, and for the peace, order, and good government of this nation. But that's not happening, Newry. For some reason, and I guess we can investigate what that is,
mm-hmm.
why it has happened the way it is happening now. This isn't new. You know that, and I know that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm saying to you here, people playing games with the lives of the Bahamian people. And I'm going to tell you plainly, if the government of the Bahamas doesn't do anything about it, somebody will. And they're not going to like what the end result is going to be. Because that's the way things are going to happen, Newry. Let's face harsh reality.
Professor Thompson, I see wisdom inside your words, and I believe that you might be a prophet. You are foretelling what the future will be. And the future will be this because our government is proven to be complicit. And this complicity is going to cause problems and violence, and they are going to be the ones responsible for that.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Now you hit the nail right on the head. See, we got to stop talking foolishness and look at the harsh reality we're in. See, I say to people all the time, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, not the judge, not the ruling of the judge, not the ruling of a court, not the word of a prime minister. That means nothing, Newry. They have a response to carry out certain functions under the Constitution. Now, when they don't do it, now that's a different kettle of fish. That's what happened in this case. So we got people talking nonsense, doing foolishness, and the country just falling apart. Huh? And we're supposed to sit back and just take the crap that comes from people talking nonsense.
I agree.
That is not fair.
Professor, let me go to the next call, though. Let me go to the next call, because you need to come in so I can actually pick your brain and challenge you.
I can come in on Wednesday.
I can check my Wednesday schedule. Let me call
you. Wednesday coming. I'll come in.
Let me call. We'll talk about this. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thanks.
I want to cast. I see you call us. I'm going to come to you right now and make this statement. I'm not sure if you remember that one prime minister, something happened in Eleuthera. I can call the prime minister name too. No. Something happened inside Eleuthera, right? With the immigrants, and I think that the community, the government decided to bulldoze a irregular community. And the opposition, who I think he, anyway, the former prime minister Hubert Ingraham said, if it was me, if I was y'all, I would have sued the government. He told the immigrants them to sue the government when the government was doing their job. And he tried to say, me, listen to him again? Never. Never.
Well, Newry, you have a valid point. You see, you could even have prime ministers talk crap. You could have judges talk crap. That's something that happens. That's why I keep saying all the time, the Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is supreme. Not the word of a judge.
Mm-hmm.
Not the word of a prime minister. They have a right to express an opinion. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you're talking crap. Where are you going with that? Now, people expect better out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when they hear them say something, they believe that must be right. But see, I don't think like that because I know better. Unfortunately, people are tied to the political personality or grouping, and it creates further problems. But that's what we have. But I'll come in next Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Okay, take care now.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, caller. I have the next caller there. Put the pastor caller through. Sorry about that, Wade. How you doing, caller?
Hey, good morning, sir.
How are you doing today?
You know, I've thought about the injunction and the legality about it, right? And it brought to mind when you go to court, say, for a crime, and the court takes so long to hear your case, you get off on technicality because they're not supposed to hold you over a period of time before they have to let you go. Am I right?
I understand that. You get put on bail. You don't get off, but you get put on bail.
You get put off, and even then, your lawyer, depends on how smart he is, would use that to his advantage to get you far less time and or possibly get off.
Mm.
You understand? Because things get lost in the process of the way. So I feel like this judge, I'm so sorry if I'm wrong, and I do apologize, but I feel like they're holding it down like that. So at the time, they're going to say, oh, well, those persons have been there so long now, so you can't move them anymore. But going forward, you will have to. So I don't like that. It feels to me like that's what's happening here.
I watch it, and I thank you, caller, because I can speak onto that right now. Thanks very much. See, I remember we have the sitting current prime minister said, you are not Haitian Bohemians, but you are Bohemians, right? And then you put that juxtaposed to the Minister of Works who's saying that there are Bohemians living in these shanty towns and we have a duty of care to them. You can't go and bulldoze their homes, their shanty towns, without finding someplace else for them to be. And when you put those two stories together, thick, and especially in the term of laws where you can have squatters' rights, and if you stay on a property for 12 years, unabetted, and we know that these people living there for 25 odd years, and they've been regularized. How you get regularization if you live in a shanty town? Surely they ask where you live, and you can't say, "Well, I live in a shanty town," because you're supposed to be denied. Access denied. So I believe that there are powers that be that has created this perfect storm. And this storm is just too big for us to handle anymore. We need specialists to come in to rewrite some laws. Because what is happening now, we can't deal with it. It's beyond us. It's bigger than us. These people smarter than us. And they ain't doing nothing like all sinister, no. We're doing it to ourselves. Because the people, those conky Joe people in Spanish Wells got to explain what is happening in Russell Island. Those bright-skinned people in North Eleuthera would have those shanty towns for the farms, got to explain what is happening in North Eleuthera. The shanty town in Abaco with the foreign white people and the local white people there, saying the labor, got to explain what is happening in Abaco. The black people who own these farms and say, well, this is my Haitian farmer, and getting the work permits, got to explain what is happening to the whole Bahamas. They plotting to destroy us. I better have another caller there. Pass the caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, brother Louis.
Good afternoon.
Okay, sure, my brother. Let me see if I can put my 5 cents in. See, I agree with Professor 150%. See, that judge, she should recuse herself from being a judge. The nice call will on show and wait some time and say the same thing. She got to be 64.
She ain't that old. That's a young, beautiful woman.
Yeah, but we need to find a way to get up the bench. She ain't on the beam people beside.
No, you don't be running judges. We just need to question their integrity.
Yeah. But anyway, if somebody on a judge on the bench and going against the Constitution and going against the behemoth and we can't do it, something got to be wrong with her. I don't care what people are saying. See, and when I tell you the Civil War is coming, you see, it ain't coming without behemoths. No. See, I talk on powerful. It's coming from the Haitians. You see, they ain't scared of burning down nothing. You know. You see, I fought Greg Abbott and those guys from Texas. You know, they're sending all of the migrants to New York and Washington and the place. Now they're crying. Texas had thousands and millions of them. Every Jesus Christ said they can't take 5,000. See, we got to defend this country. So let me tell you, say, if you don't fight this country, then we don't deserve to have it. Boca send 25 years later on, you're going to regret it. See, anytime you see government sit around and they go tell you it'll be anarchy in the land. It'll be total destruction. This country can walk from top to bottom. And when people call it, you're going to get mad. And when I say you're lying, you know, this country can walk from top to bottom. That's why I keep telling you all the Moses school, you need to stop their pension. Don't give them nothing. Huh? All the land, I tell you, you said a while ago, we're stealing land by Quan Thailand. That's stealing. That's stealing people's things. You know how many people lose generation land from these lawyers and these other people? Take your land back, man. You got to stand up and fight. But anyway, And you know what everybody's saying is true. Me and me people don't need murderers on this talk. But God got it. Hey, God doing this, you know. God doing it. And all of them say who flooding. And I can't blame Ruby George and Frank Smith. They happy and they part of the flood. But when you can go to the United Nations and lie and say, ask people between you, but we treat the Haitians better than the Americans. We treat them better than the Canadians, the French, who owe them billions of dollars. The Haitians won't trust the Americans, the British. That's why they don't want to come. But come, say, go. Some people rather die fighting. I'm trying to take my call, my brother.
Yeah, man, definitely. One, two. Two prime ministers who have told immigrants, if I were you, I would sue the government. I forget Hubert Minnis, but he tell the Cubans. See, man. Two prime ministers, just for politics, no. Over politics, these people saying all kind of things. Say sue. You know? Anyway, we do not have we do have the resources to solve our immigration problem. But because Abaco is highly funded by second homeowners, and they are the main ones hiring migrant workers for cheap labor, the government keeps a blind eye in order to get the foreign currency in the country. And in fact, that's just one of the issues we was having with the NGOs. And people was around saying, why ministers do the delay with the NGOs? I believe that the NGOs was facilitating all kind of strange things in Abaco. And this is why our then prime minister said, man, hold on with these NGOs. I know you're all giving money. But no. What y'all doing does it hurt us in the back of the end. But I have another caller there. Pastor caller through.
Hi. Good day, Mr. Nuri.
Go ahead.
Have you ever been out to the dock to see when the current pride come in?
From Elutra?
Yeah.
I've seen the large amount, and I assume those people are behemoths. I know you go in there.
No, they are not. And
you check those people's passport?
No, I could tell. You could hear, listen to the conversation. They speak in Creole.
I know behemoths who speak Creole.
Okay, but Mr. Nuri, let's...
You just sound prejudiced. Just because they speak Creole don't mean they don't have no passport. No,
okay, Mr. Nuri, you think the behemoths now who are behemoths are going to speak Creole when they're moving through the country?
They like that language. Our laws doesn't demand that they speak English.
Okay, granted. Give them that then. Now you build a case for them right there. Okay, good. Now... Our government is forcing the police to Haiti and Turks and Caicos. If our government was serious and know these shanty towns are spreading, I would place the defense force in those communities to make sure not another nail is driven. And to monitor those.
I just have a text. I didn't read the text with you while you said we're on the line. Something has to be going on in Abaco. The Royal Bahamas Defense Force and Royal Bahamas Police Force should have been already being deployed there, especially how this injunction has been violated. Right. What's the government waiting for? And right. I agree with you, Cora. There's no large contingent.
And see, and not only that, because these shanty towns are spreading, they're going to cause the second homeowners to look twice at building here. And this money with the government's trying to raise from us, they will not be able to get it from these second homeowners because they're not going to come and they're going to try to sell their property. And they're going to go somewhere else. And the taxation on it, because they're always projecting these big things what they can't complete, like the baseball stadium, that has already gone through three governments. And now, it's something got to be wrong with us as a people. Because you see these things spreading. You see the people are here coming here. The Ely and on Carmichael Road. It's an area out there where they sit out front to wait for people to pass to pick them up if they need people to work. And you trying to tell me immigration never went down Carmichael Road to see them sitting out there, big as Billy, eating their breakfast, waiting to for somebody to stop and pick them up?
I agree with you.
I see it.
At least I'm not question if they have work permits, something.
Well, we don't know that. You go and check them. You're supposed to have these people in some kind of fear to be in this country. Because they don't go to Santo Domingo. They don't stop in Cuba. They come straight up to Nassau and go to Abaco, Lutheran, or the States. What is it that they are doing that we are not doing? And listen, our generation may not see it, but our children, they're going to be in plenty trouble one of these days. I hate to say it because all Haitians are not bad. But you have a crew here that are willing to die because they want to be in charge and take this place over. And we are going to be, I believe we are already the minority. We just don't do an accurate account. Because you can't tell me they ain't right on our heels. Right on our heels, Mr. Nuri.
I hear you there, caller.
And it troubles me when I see that amount and they're here and we're not doing it. The police, I mean the defense force, should be on these roads every morning to show they're trying to curb this thing. It's the promised land.
Well, I got to go to a quick break so I can answer the rest of these calls that are pending. Thank you very much. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And I saying that our government has been complicit with the shantytown problem. They ain't doing what they supposed to do. And what is happening now with them saying that, oh, they're going to try to apply and try to get an injunction lifted, ain't good enough. It's an excuse. They're sleight of hands. They're pretending. They play with our emotions because they ain't dealing with the problem. I don't know if they know how to deal with the problem. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always. You're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance. Peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Back to T.A. Nuri, and we're talking about the government and them not... They're feeling us. They're feeling us with the responsibility of ensuring that the Bahamas remain safe. And I believe the expansion of the shantytown is a national security risk. And them not challenging the rules and the laws and this injunction. And them pretending that they got to form a committee to see what they can do is a travesty. And if any... Ministers say they got to form a committee. We need to move that minister. We talk about you, Sarah. We need to move those ministers because they don't have our heart, our upward mobility in their hearts at all. I have another caller there. You have another caller there? Go ahead, producer. Producer, caller there. How you doing, caller? Caller, you there? Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm going to have a slight headache just talking about this because I vexed.
Man, you must be related to before I got a migraine myself. But let me just say this. Mr. Sayers is the, Arthur Sayers is the Minister of Works, right?
Yes, he's the Minister of Works. That's the one who informed the committee to see if he could possibly bulldoze.
Right there on Boyd Road. In front of his headquarters, they to dig up the old road to do a pipe or whatever. And I know if he's up, but he never in his office no more anyway. Because we didn't try to get up with him a couple of times. But anyhow, I want you drive down that road and tell me if that road passed back properly.
Whoever is responsible for that road is an embarrassment.
But he is the Minister of Waste. And his headquarters right on the road, right in front of the thing. But anyhow, the being... We didn't stick to that. But I want him to hear my voice and when he ride down there, see if that's how that road's supposed to be fixed by. That's, you know, it ain't making no sense. That's why we having all these problems. You got to do things and do things properly and do it right. But now, let me say this. I remember when they were still in Bahama, right?
Mm.
And I think it was, I can't remember how you pronounce his name. Sakmar.
Sakas, go ahead. It's Marillion.
Don't
defame or anything, but go ahead.
Remember they just stop Obama from building ministry, it was the government, stop the building from building because they said they think the plumbing or the pipe wasn't the right size or something like that. Remember that?
Something like that.
So the government stopped that, right?
The inspectors. Go ahead.
And then they go into court to try to lift the injunction or whatever, and the government carry on throughout that. So now what's the difference between an injunction from the U.S. government or our government, whatever it was, whatever court it was, and the government still was able to press through that? So what's the difference now? I gang up and listen. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you very much, Carla. Gone are the lawyers, them, who used to be the spokespersons for the people, them. Once upon a time, a Wayne Monroe would have come and say and explain everything. Say, no, this is doing this, and this is what the government could do, and this is what should happen, and this is a travesty, and calling all kind of words and threatening to sue. Just now he in government. You don't hear nothing. You don't hear nothing no more. You know when you get that MP position, you switch. You switch, I tell you. The man, good man, switch. But I have another caller. Patrick, call it
help.
Did I see another caller there? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me?
Yeah, you can hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, represent Abaco for about 80 years, eh?
Some Bohemian way.
Okay. Now, that problem been there from that time. And every time they try to touch it, the party them say, leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
So the government from Abaco. If you see where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we in some of the trouble what we are into. You have people in high places, and they compound the problem. Now, here there's another MP. He say 50 acres, and then it turned out to be, 200 acres. Well, when I see they gone 60 acres, I was going to be making noise. He tell he get 200 acres, and then he start talking. And I hear you speak about other places. Yes, I remember good as a day. Some people came from Andres came on the same talk show. I think was Smith was the host them days, and he complained about what was going on. He came specifically for the Shantytown illegal town going up in Andres, and nothing was done. And that's a couple of years ago. But I could say a lot of things, but I just lived it out. One more other thing too: the judge never said that they must build. The judge said what was up. Should not. They should do no more construction. That's what she was saying. But they sit back and let construction go on. And now I hear this.
They watch it. There's only one road to go to the farm, and they drive right past the police station, and they would the plywood and all the shingle and build a house. And the police don't say nothing. They say, man, they behemoths, and if wherever behemoths go, they plywood. Who are they to stop them? You know.
Yeah. They build but there's another thing about it's Bahamian. Then you shouldn't break the law. What's the difference? You still break the law, Bahamian or no, whatever you is. If you break the law, you break the law. You're supposed to go build no place. And these, to me, if your mother's a Haitian and your daddy is a Haitian, then you're Haitian. That's what we ain't getting in our head. We continue giving this thing to them, but they Bahamian, no man. And I say, if we have a war broken right now, that's what I say, we can't go fight in Haiti. You think they come in? Are they saying it's Bahamian? Anyhow, have a good day.
Thank you very much. I am concerned. I am concerned because I believe the politicians are playing with our emotions. And what is happening right now, I think that they added to the problem. I see no narrative, no conversation from the Attorney General, no conversation from the Minister of Works, no conversation from Minister of Immigration about the shanty towns, the 20-odd shanty towns in New Providence. No, I had no conversation about the shanty towns on Russell Island. No conversation about the shanty towns on Andres. So that means what is happening in Abaco and the response of what they're doing in Abaco is all political. It's because the people there are grumbling. And even the MP who's making noise now is all for show. All for show. So are they my friends? I don't support them. We got to understand that they ain't helping me. They need to do their job. I have another caller here. Go ahead, caller. Principal Patrick's caller through. Caller, can you hear me? Go ahead. I can hear you.
Good day, Mr. Nuri. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Nuri. Just a little vexed.
Yes, it's vexing to hear this conversation, too. But actually, I don't want to get biblical at all. But I was sitting there so discouraged the position I'm in. Being a behemoth in the Bahamas, and it don't seem like we have a future. and I hear all the conversation and the back and forth with you and the guests, and it's kind of refreshing in a way, but still at the same time, very frustrating. I tell you the honest to God's truth. I think the Bahamas Sea, this is a warfare between spirits.
Believe you getting voodooed? You believe that someone put us some kind of hex on us that we can't see the shanty towns?
I think it's been going on, and it's prevalent, and you can see it. I could even give you an incident that just happened about a week ago.
You know someone who got voodooed a week ago?
I mean, supposedly, or what they call the word, in court, allegedly.
But
there's a spot where I hang out, a certain watering hole, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Fate Avenue, I didn't even put it that close. But there was a ledge that about 5 to 6 nights ago, after the spot was closed down, right? A gentleman that lived across the road wasn't expected to be outside after 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, right? And there's a liquor store, wholesale liquor store, then there's a restaurant and bar right on the side of it that is owned by Haitians. Actually, there's a Haitian guy in foreign fronting this situation for these people over here, right? But at 1 or 2 o'clock in the night, in the middle of the night, these gentlemen, supposedly, because I wasn't there, so I can't swear, but it was a big uproar about them digging a hole in the parking lot in the front of the window where you get served and lighting some fire where water actually is settled, but there's a fire actually being lit, and then the fire isn't even the same. It's not a normal color. It was different colors that was said. But I say that to say this, right? Even like you said, you mentioned Hubert, our former prime minister, one of them went to Haiti to make shirts for their campaign. You remember that?
No.
A few elections back?
Nope, not at all.
You don't remember that at all?
Nope.
Is it okay if I call a name?
Well, no. I can let that slide. Because your story would light and fire, I don't believe that either. You need to tell better stories, man. I got all excited, and that story didn't work out for me. Say, light fire and turn to water and ice. That's one of those the Lord of Rings type stories and things. But so my point is, what is happening to us? I believe that the government is complicit. I believe that the response of this administration is not adequate. These press releases is not adequate. And they act as if they're doing us a favor. Right? Because they're not addressing the immediate cause of it. I believe if this is a constitutional issue, the Chief Justice need to be questioned and say, how come we don't have a definite date for when this is going to over? Because this is of national importance. This is for national security. And if the Chief Justice hasn't made any statement, they're all complicit. All complicit. I would even go and say maybe even anti-Bahamian. But I have another call here. Put the pressure caller there, Drew. Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi. Good. How are you doing today?
Yes, this is Nuri.
This is Nuri.
Yes. Thank you for having my call. Yeah, I was reading an article. I think it's Dr. Keith Tinker. He's a Bahamian, and he's an author. He writes books and stuff like that.
Speed it up, caller, because I have 2 minutes. Less than 2 minutes.
Yeah. But in the early before our time of majority rule, there were 10,000 Haitians living in the Bahamas, right? And in the early, right, that doubled to 20,000, right? Look at this time what we're living in now. And back in those days, the Bahamas wasn't even doing good. We didn't have the kind of economy that we have today. And remember, there was somebody who said, I think the ambassador was saying there's about 150,000 Haitians living in the Bahamas.
Yeah, he was talking fool.
Okay, so look at that double from the 50s and the 60s, the double in less than 5 years, right? You think that is far-fetched of what he was saying?
Yes, it's far-fetched. He was talking fool.
Okay, so you're saying it's far-fetched. Okay, could you believe that most of us right now, right, Haitian Bahamians?
They be only Bahamians. I think that double barrel.
Plains government.
What you
say? Oh, news on. I gotta go. Have a wonderful day.